Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Big Ticket Variety and iHeart's Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Today, I sit down with Noah Centineo, star of To All the Boys, P.S. I Still Love You, the second installment of Netflix's three-part To All the Boys franchise. The 23-year-old Florida native opens up about fame, his year of sobriety, and his love of Shia LaBeouf. Plus, wait till you hear his Batman voice. It's all coming up after the break. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. Here's Noah Centineo.
Okay, let's make sure the levels are good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Congratulations on everything, man.
Thanks, dude.
Has it just been wild? Like, what goes through your head when you, I mean, I just look at the number, 1 million followers to 13 million followers.
Yeah.
What, could you even comprehend that?
No, man, it was such a fast jump. It just to me proved the model that Netflix was putting out.
Right.
You know, it's like, damn, they have hundreds, like a couple, like 140 or 150 million people that genuinely will watch the content they put out.
Right.
Because I'm sure it was only like a marginal amount that actually go and follow and, like, you know, but I don't know what their numbers were, but yeah, that was probably one of the most eye-opening parts of it, was like, whoa, Netflix.
Yeah.
And the second thing was just, wow, I can like sit in a room now with filmmakers and really like gifted people and learn from them and hopefully collaborate with them. if I ever am looked at as anything other than
Don't sell yourself short. Okay, so it is, let's do the three titles: To All the Boys I've Loved Before, To All the Boys I Still Love You, To All the Boys Always and Forever Large. Yes. So you sign up for the first movie. Did they sign you up for the three? Like, how did that all come about?
No, I guess they, you know, we only did a deal for the first one, and then the first one came out, and I was aware that there were two other books, and then they came to us and said, we want to do two and three, and we were like, sounds great.
Did you expect, when you were making the first one, did you expect it to be the phenomenon that it was?
No, I surely didn't. My team was telling me it was going to. I had just signed with CAA because they had gotten a link, I guess, to the film, and they were very excited. They told me that Netflix was going to put a big marketing budget behind it as a part of the Summer of Love campaign with Kissing Booth and Sierra. And my mentality has always been like, I'm not going to count my chickens before they hatch, and even when they hatch, some of them will die. So like, I try to like be prepared for everything and expect, you know, moderation.
Right. No, because if you expect too much, you're just going to be let down. And
I've always heeded the best rewards, I think, or the results from like that mentality. Right. So
you make the movie.
Yeah.
It starts streaming. It's just, it was instant. It's like insta fame, insta visibility. How did your life change?
It didn't really. If I'm honest, did it really change? If anything, small things that had changed already because of the Fosters only kind of increased marginally. But, you know, it's 17 million people on a phone. You know, it's like, it's not like I have them following me around in daily life. Like, I can go out in public. I go to Starbucks. I go to coffee places.
How dare you.
I know. It's like, I don't think that it quite has translated to the point of like, you know, if Michael B. Jordan goes out in public, I think he would cause a riot. And it's not quite there yet with me. Which I'm thankful for.
Well, I was just going to say, are you thankful for that?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I'll let you know when it changes my life so much. But it really, it hasn't done anything negative.
Do you like the fame?
I enjoy the platform to be able to affect people, to be able to, I think I'm a bit of a narcissist. So having like somewhat of a soapbox to be able to like preach from is
as exciting. Long as you're just not always preaching about yourself, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think I welcome it only because when I was like a teenager and a younger kid, like you always kind of want idols. Mm-hmm. And there's always like that musician that you love or that actor that you love, but it was really hard to get in touch with them and to listen to them on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But now with social media, it's really cool that, you know, we can tap in every single day right. to somebody that we look up to. And I think there's a responsibility that comes with that, surely. But more so, like, I don't know, I feel like I want to inspire myself. Mm-hmm. Like, if I have a responsibility to myself, regardless of if I'm famous and people are looking at me or I'm completely unknown and ostracized, to feel good about my actions mm-hmm. and my thoughts and the things I say. And I feel like pursuing that as opposed to pursuing like making the right choices in the public eye, like, can I make choices that I'm super proud of that inspire me?
Right.
Because if I can do that, then like anyone could say anything to me and I'd be like, yeah, but I did literally the greatest thing in my opinion.
Right.
And if I was wrong, then I can learn from that and move on.
You talk about idols. Who were some of your idols when you were growing up? Who did you look to?
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
Why is that?
I think I was obsessed with him and Even Stevens, of course, because when I was like 8, he was on that show. But then he like matured and did Disturbia. And then the Transformers, and then he did, like, he was this cool badass in Transformers, but he brought this, like, young naiveness to the character that was, like, hilarious and endearing. And then he went and did Eagle Eye, you know, and he was mm-hmm. this action star, and it was super cool. And even now, like, doing Peanut Butter Falcon, his film.
How much did you cry?
During Peanut Butter Falcon, I cried for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I laughed my ass off when he punched that kid. That was like, I can't believe they just did that. But then the kid didn't say anything. Like, that was cool. And then, of course, his new,
Honey Boy.
Honey Boy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. With Otis wrote that and Noah. And
What did you think, Honey Boy? I mean, I said to Shia, I said, Honey Boy is either the greatest form of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Or the greatest form of like just like self hurt, like
yeah.
it's an incredible piece of art. But just when you really sit down and think, like, you're playing your dad
mm-hmm.
who abused you. Here's this kid mm-hmm. playing you. That's some intense therapy.
I mean, I just think it is literally a testament to the work that Shia has put into himself.
Right.
The self awareness that he has, the care. And his desire to share with others what he's learned. I think that is what is so goddamn cool about his story.
Have you met him?
Mm-mm.
What would you say?
I don't know what I would say to that guy, man. I'd probably just like throw up. I'd probably just throw up and be like, dude, I just love you. Like, I love your story. I relate deeply to the path that you walk. And you know, looking up to you and seeing how present you are in your life makes me want to be the better version of myself.
I love what you said, being present in your life.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And that's what he, like, just, yeah. you know, I did the Peanut Butter Falcon, you know, circuit with him, and then Honey Boy, and that's exactly what it is. He's present.
Yeah. He's just open to yeah. life. Like, he's literally has been like, I feel like he just went, I want to rip my heart. I want my heart to be taken by this world. And he just allows it and tries to facilitate it. And he's like, I'm sure there's fear, but like, the dude is brave because he's got courage despite that fear. He just does it anyway. And right. that's so admirable to me.
You've got
to
meet him. Just don't do it on a full stomach or you'll
throw up. Yeah, I'll throw up.
let's go back a little bit more to All the Boys.
Yeah.
One of the things that people love about it, and I think why it's resonated so much, is the diverse cast,
yeah.
the inclusiveness. Is that important for you when you're looking at projects?
Yeah. I think the discussion will not be of representation will not be finished until it's normalized and we have nothing more to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, again, Shia doing Peanut Butter Falcon and, you know, bringing in Zach, like, it's like, I don't know. It's just finally the world is taking a turn where, yes, it is extremely important to mm-hmm. me that we're giving voice to those and just allowing people of color, of different backgrounds, of different languages, different looks, and, you know, right. all of it, and orientations to just play the people that they are, which is humans.
Mm-hmm.
We're all human.
Right.
Humans should work if they want to. And if they're gifted and talented and they're able to move people in this medium, then why aren't they having jobs? When I consider it, what comes up is continuing to foster different communities
mm-hmm.
in filmmaking, and, you know, allowing these people to, I feel like it's on the producerial side,
mm-hmm.
it's on the studio front, you know, I mean, who's the head of studios,
right?
You know, who are the biggest producers,
yeah.
you know, it's like, who are the biggest writers?
Is it a generational thing, you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think nowadays, my generation, we don't see color the same,
right.
You know, I think we obviously see color as we should, because color is beautiful,
yeah.
But we don't really be like, you don't have any talent. Like, what, dude? Like, I don't know about you. I'm done hearing from people right. that look like me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and come from places that I come from. You know, I'm from Boca Raton, Boynton Beach, Florida. I don't want to. I mean, those stories,
you're
trust
like
me.
Every Jewish grandmother out there.
You know what I'm saying, man? Like, but listen, those are interesting stories and great stories, and you know, every story deserves to be told and heard. But like, I've not heard many stories from like I watched Malcolm on the plane,
mm-hmm.
like ride back to LA a couple of days ago, and like I was bawling my eyes out,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that, you know, Spike is a G man, and he's a legend, and he has always been so abrasive, and he's always been so fearless in the mm-hmm. stories he's told, and I don't know, man, I don't know where it's going. I don't know. I just hope that more films like Parasite and like Malcolm and like, you know, Spike's earlier. I just want more, man. And if I can be a part of that, like if I step down and I never play like a leading role again, but I can support, mm-hmm. I'd be very happy.
Where did your openness come from?
I'd say probably like my upbringing,
mm-hmm.
my parents. You always gotta like give some to the parents, right?
Right. Yeah, you know, they made you.
I give a lot to them, man. Like that's the blueprint. I was allowed to drop out of school, and I was allowed to read whatever I wanted to read. I was really into like meditation and yoga as I got older. I've always, you know what it was, man? I watched radio mm-hmm. when I was really young with mm-hmm.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, Cuba, and there's that, he plays someone with a mental disability and mm-hmm. they lock him in a shed, mm-hmm. a football team, and they start throwing footballs at the outside of the shed, and he's locked in this shed, he's incapable of getting out, and he's terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was like 4 years old watching that movie, and it like ripped a hole in my soul.
Right.
And I went, I never want to feel like this or make anyone else feel like this
uh-huh.
ever. And I think it really impacted me moving forward. So my father was definitely into showing us like heavy films when we were younger. Schindler's List, Passion.
How old were you when you watched Schindler's List? Young.
Yeah, young. Yeah.
Wow.
Single digits. And he was never afraid to show us these things mm-hmm. and to have these conversations with us. He thought we could handle it. And
mm-hmm.
it was helpful. I mean, there's probably so many things that my parents did that I can't remember that just is like the reason, the foundation for it, you know?
Right.
But I want to be more open. Like I always find myself being like, dude, like stop being afraid. Open right. yourself to this, open yourself to that.
Well, you talk about, you know, watching that film and saying, you know, you never want to hurt someone that way.
Yeah.
Is there pressure to be a role model though? You know, again, it goes back to the Instagram of 13 million followers. You're being followed.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, look.
What kind of pressure is that?
There's no amount of pressure that any outside force could put on me that I haven't already put on myself. Mm-hmm. That's just how I feel. Right. So it's like I try to hold myself extremely accountable for every decision I make. Mm. And so having, you know, 17 million other people doing it too, it's right. kind of like, yeah, but they don't really, it doesn't really come close to the accountability that I hold myself to. I don't
have, know. Have you heard from fans since you've talked openly about being sober?
Yeah, I've heard. I mean, I don't really interact mm-hmm. on my socials with fans.
Right.
I know that people were surprised. I know that people were supportive, mm-hmm. which is nice. I've had a couple people that I've met been like, come on, let's have a drink. And I'm like, no, I'm not drinking right now. And
I'm sober myself. I've been sober for 6 years.
Wow, so, yeah. 6 years.
Yeah, it'll be 6 years, July 7th.
That's fantastic, man. Yeah. My relationship with sobriety is a little different. I got mm-hmm. clean for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I just said I'm going to take a year off.
Yep.
And then I went back to drinking, but I left a lot in the past. There's a lot that I don't do anymore.
Right. Yes. Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Stick with Starbucks.
Yes. Coffee's way better. But when I work, when I have to work, I cut out everything.
Everything. Yeah, it's clean living.
Yeah.
It's better.
Why yeah, not? Sometimes I'll have a cigarette, though, if I'm having a really rough day.
It's not illegal. You can't be arrested for
nah.
driving and under the influence of smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. It's usually only like late at night when I need to think about something. I'm like, I'm going to go outside.
I do that with cake.
Yeah, it's great. Cake is good.
No, it's not. Now we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, hear what Centineo told me about his still-in-the-works He-Man Masters of the Universe movie. Plus, he shows off his rather impressive Batman voice. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. Here's more of Noah Centineo. Now let's talk about favorite nations.
Yeah.
I love this. I'm just going to call it a log line.
Okay.
We found a new way to help the world for those who give a shit. Tell me about that.
Yeah, man. We haven't fully launched. But from what I can say is, I just think that philanthropy for so long has been something that is not cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, community service hours is a drag in school, as opposed to being something that people look forward to on a mass basis. Like, mm-hmm. you know, most people usually don't like to do those things. And it started off just when I got sober. I was like really upset, really like not happy, and so mm-hmm. I tried to figure out why, and getting sober was one way. And then I realized that, like, I was in Joshua Tree and this person was driving a pickup truck and all their furniture like fell out the back of their pickup truck. And I was like, oh shit. And like I ran over and like I just helped them put all the stuff back, and right. they, and then it was like, all right, yeah, bye, dude. And they left, and it was like this, you know, this exchange that like made me super happy. Like I felt really good about mm-hmm. myself. Like, and like my ego was like, I'm a good person. but the feeling kind of was nice. And like, I can look back on that moment and I feel fulfilled from that. And I get happy. And like, you laugh when I tell right. a story. And it's like, so maybe helping others, it kind of mm-hmm. hit me one way. I was like, what if it's just like helping others is the key here? Like,
mm-hmm.
And it turns out the more that I like tried to help other people, the happier I got, mm. the more fulfillment I felt fulfilled.
Yep.
And so Favored Nations came about because I did a campaign with Omaze, and we raised like $280,000 through a lottery for two different charities, and 60-something percent of that came from my Instagram. And I went, yo, like, this is genius. Why aren't we, like, leaning into social media as a catalyst for good? And how can we take this model that Omaze has done so incredibly and work to change it so that it's enhanced, if any, if it can be. And I found out that, like, there was no company I could work with that would raise money and then donate 100% of that money raised to a charity. And I thought, well, I'll just try to make one then. It's grown into something a lot larger than just campaigning and platform fundraising. We actually got to fly out Savelle and Tatiana from Maryland. They both are incredible people, and they came out for the premiere of To All the Boys, P.S. I Still Love You. So it was our first campaign, and they're both amazing people because they're both actually doing work in their communities as individuals and together to empower their communities. And it was a random selection. But yeah, no, we got to sit down with them and we just talked about them and their life, and Tati actually had, like, a heart condition, and she wants to create a foundation to raise awareness for it, and she has all these aspirations as well, and it's incredible, man. Yeah. They both are doing work, you know, in Maryland. One of them works as a teacher, and one of them, like, helps a community center stay open and run, and it's just like,
did you do, like, a raffle kind of thing?
Yeah, it was random.
Oh, wow. So it wasn't like the people who gave the most money kind of thing.
No, and that's actually something that we want to stay away from.
Right.
This one was all they had to do was sign up for the lottery and follow our Instagram, and then they were entered into it.
Wow.
It was just a way to get people to kind of, like, get interested and figure out what this is. But moving forward, like, we want ways that if you have more money, you're not going to be able to stack the deck in your favor.
Right.
Because the truth is, kids will not eat a meal or two meals for 2 weeks to save up enough money to get into a lottery, and then someone who has $10,000 lying
around.
So that's a very real issue, and we want to attack that head on. It's not just with me. You know, we want to partner with many different celebrities and artists to help create a new wave, man. We just want people to give a shit. It's really simple.
That's what the log, like I said, the log line says. Yep. For those who give a shit.
Give a shit.
Let's talk a little bit more about work. Jackie Chan.
Yeah, man. J.C. Chan, his son, is starring in it. Mm-hmm. And it's a World War II film. And I play, somehow my name got into the list of names to consider for this awesome role that actually runs rescue missions to smuggle Jews out of Nazi-occupied Germany. It was an insane experience, man. Jackie Chan is such a force.
Yeah.
So kind. Mm. Like, everyone that works on set of his films actually comes from his school. And they're all in, like, this massive academy where they get trained and to be grips or to be DPs or to be assistants or whatever it is, producers, writers. He's just, like, created this incredible school, which I think is so – that's the coolest part about Jackie Chan.
And it's a drama.
And it's
– It's not a Jackie Chan action.
No
thing.
Action.
Wow.
Yeah. There's little bits of, like, you know, action.
It's a war movie.
Yeah, but it's drama. Yeah, it's full-blown drama.
And where'd you shoot it?
China.
Wow.
Yeah, China and Prague.
Wow.
Yeah, it was to be able to travel, to be able to work with someone like Jackie. I mean, the dude knows what he wants, and he's so good at conveying it. And I've seen bits of it. It's like, it's gorgeous. You know, just being in Prague or being in, like, an older city, dressed a certain way. Yeah, like, I look, wearing glasses. Like, I look nothing like myself, and I felt nothing like myself. You kind of just, like, dive into this world. It was an amazing experience. It was super fun. And Jackie's the greatest. And JC's super fun. It was nice. It was nice to forge friendships like that.
He-Man, is that happening?
You know, man, we'll see about that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you want to be a superhero? Do you want to be that kind of character?
I would love to be, man. Those roles are those types of roles are so fun. But I also feel like I'm really into the kind of shifting and redefining what it is to be a superhero. Mm. You know, I'm really into that. So okay. I feel like there's opportunity for that.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Well, I think, like, you know, the cliche saying, like, some heroes don't wear capes.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a really real thing. Like, I think back in the 40s and, like, in early American age, it was like, you got to be super jacked and you have to wear a cape and you have right. to, you know, have superpowers. And it's like, or like Chronicle came out mm-hmm. and you had these like anti-heroes mm-hmm. and then Hancock came out with Will Smith and he's not like, he's just like a normal dude who's got superpowers. And I just think that's really cool.
So you don't want to put on leotards and a cape?
Listen, man, I'll put on a leotard. Come on, I'll do it. Of course I would do it.
Were you the kid who liked superheroes?
Well, funny enough, I really liked Batman Beyond, mm-hmm. and he like is not like some ripped dude. He's just some kid,
right?
You
right,
know,
right.
With a mask and a cool belt.
Did you do the Batman voice? I'm Batman. Yeah. Wow, you did it!
Was that
you did it? There's your audition. I'll send it to Warner Brothers.
Where is she?
Awesome, Noah. This is great. This is fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, of course.
And good luck with the movie. And the third one's already wrapped, right?
Yeah, we filmed the third one. I don't know when it's coming out, but
so when are you shooting the fourth one?
If Jenny Han decides to write a fourth book, sign me up.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That was Noah Centineo. He co-stars in the new Netflix rom-com To All the Boys, P.S. I Still Love You. Thanks for listening to this week's Big Ticket, and don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram @MarkMalkin. See you all next time.